Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is Panthers Insider, an in-depth preview of the week.
He shot, he scores!
On the Florida Panthers Radio Network. Here's the voice of the Panthers, Doug Blagans.
Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you. Merry Christmas, happy holidays. We welcome you aboard. The Panthers have reached the Christmas break portion of the National Hockey League schedule. They played on the road last night against the New York Islanders. So quick turnaround for me getting back on the air. Here back in South Florida. Now the Panthers fell short last night. It was a one-game road trip to New York. The Panthers fell to the Islanders 5-1. We'll have some post-game thoughts on that from both Paul Maurice, the Panthers head coach, as well as Matthew Tkachuk, who leads the Panthers, is second on the Panthers in goal scoring this season. He scored the Panthers' lone goal last night. He's up to 40 points on the season in his first season as a Panther. So we'll hear from them coming up here shortly. Also, some instant reaction from Bally Sports Florida Panthers analyst Randy Moeller. Kind enough to stop by, caught up with him right after the game last night to get his thoughts on the matchup. So we'll have that coming up this segment. Next segment, kind of an at-the-break chat with Jameson Olive, the lead writer from FloridaPanthers.com. You know him from the Territory Talk podcast. You know him from the second intermission of every Panthers radio broadcast. Caught up with Jameson. We'll have that coming up in just a little bit, next segment. And then kind of a best-of segment later on in the program. We'll have a chat that I had with Panthers forward Zach Dalpe on a recent edition of the Territory Talk podcast. We'll revisit that coming up later on in the program. So lots to get to as we roll through this episode of the Panthers Insider Show. No games for the Panthers until the 29th. No games in the National Hockey League over the next few days. The league has reached the Christmas break portion of the schedule. The next Panthers game is the 29th. That's Thursday, 7 o'clock at FLA Live Arena. The first matchup of the season for the Panthers and their Atlantic Division rivals, the Montreal Canadiens. That's coming up on the 29th at 7. FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. And, well, folks, a reminder, you can still score our holiday hat trick packages and catch all the savings. Get 3 Panthers games for just $99. Choose from our Victor hat trick package or Stanley hat trick package. Available while supplies last. Go to FloridaPanthers.com/offers. And remember, folks, we still have those stocking stuffer packages as well. Celebrate this holiday season with your Panthers. The Panthers January stocking stuffer pass has come to town. Get access to all 6 January Panthers home games for just $149. Available while supplies last. Go to FloridaPanthers.com/offers. Well, Doug Plagans here with for the next hour, and we are going to get into getting some thoughts from last night's game. The Panthers, with that loss to the New York Islanders, their record moves to 15 16-4, 35 games in, but you play 82. Still a lot of runway to go in this National Hockey League season. A lot of good teams, a lot of teams right in that mix competing for positioning in the Eastern Conference. So obviously the games are going to be big every night moving forward. But let's get into hearing from first Panthers head coach Paul Maurice after that game last night. The Panthers fell 5-1 on the road to the New York Islanders. And, well, here is, or I should say, let's get first to the thought from Matthew Tkachuk of the Panthers. We'll have that coming your way right now. Panthers forward Matthew Tkachuk. This was following last night's game. Then we'll hear from Paul Maurice. So here's Matthew Tkachuk, Panthers forward, points leader on the season so far. His thoughts on the loss last night to the New York Islanders.
You know, we deserve what we got tonight. There's been multiple games where this year where we definitely have deserved a win, but tonight we didn't. We played not a very good game in front of Bob, and he did a hell of a job to keep us in it all night. And just individually, we just lots of mistakes, but just probably cheating it is the best way to put it. And you can't do that against any team in this league. Well, I mean, first and foremost, we've got to find a way to use this break to get healthy. We have an extended break than most teams, a couple extra days, so just find a way. I haven't been on a team where we've had this bad luck with that, but that's no excuse. I mean, at the end of the day, there's still 20 guys going out there, and we have to find ways to win. I mean, we are so behind where we have to be right now, and I think that comes down to just every individual just finding a way to make a bigger difference than what we have this year. So I think we have to use it this break to be with our families and have fun and use this time. And I know I'm really looking forward to seeing family and hoping that we use this break as like a fresh start when we come back, because when we come back there's not a lot of room for losses for our group.
So Matthew Tkachuk, Panthers forward right there, leads the team in points with 40, scored the lone goal last night. It was actually the opening goal in that loss to the New York Islanders, but it was all Islanders after that. Matthew Tkachuk there with just a very candid, honest assessment there following the game, and he pointed to the injury bug that's hit the Panthers, and it's something that they just have had to battle with lately. And we don't have any set timetables, but we believe that things are getting better, that the Panthers are getting closer to having the captain, Alexander Barkov, back in the lineup. Of course, Radko Gudas working his way back. We heard about a week or so ago that Anthony Duclair, who hasn't played yet this season, is now down to week rather than months. So that certainly is encouraging. The Panthers have been without some key players. Last night, Aaron Ekblad left in the first period and then was questionable to return, didn't return. So that's kind of a wait and see. We'll find out more after the break as far as that's concerned. So the Panthers have been bitten by the injury bug a little bit as of late, but just something we'll have to battle through. Here's Panthers head coach Paul Maurice with his thoughts on the loss last night.
We were behind it right from the start and could never catch up. Our goalie was really good through the whole game, and we didn't give him an opportunity to have a great night by the turnovers. And then we're the best forechecking team in the National Hockey League. We didn't forecheck. Couldn't get a puck in deep. Couldn't get it to go. Had absolutely no legs from start to finish. I mean, if you can't skate, you can't win. Right? You can't forecheck. You can't break pucks out. Your hands don't work. We had no legs tonight. Everybody gets it. Everybody needs it. We haven't had 2 days off at home in a month, so it'll be good for the guys to get a chance to do that.
Panthers head coach Paul Maurice with some thoughts after last night's Panthers loss to the New York Islanders. Also, after the game last night, I had a chance to catch up with Panthers TV analyst on Bally Sports Florida, Red Deer Randy Moeller. Let's dive right into that conversation.
Immediate reaction following this one. The Panthers fall tonight to the New York Islanders on the road, 5-1, the final score. Here with Randy Moeller, Panthers TV analyst on Bally Sports Florida. And Randy, the Panthers got the start they were looking for. They scored the first goal in the game, but the New York Islanders, through getting chance after chance throughout the rest of the game, were able to eventually get a lead and build on that lead. What were your takeaways from this one?
Well, then we've seen that so many times, Doug, where the Panthers come out and they have got good legs, good energy in games, and either they grab the lead or, you know, it's tied after the first period, and they seem to have the momentum. And then you go into the second, and especially into the third period in these these close games, and the Panthers' inability to capitalize on their chances. The power play has been sputtering. Sometimes it's there, but when you need that important goal, especially with a man advantage, and you're just unable to convert, it seems like it is. It's been tough mentally for the Panthers, and it dips in their energy level, and then they allow the opposition to really take command of the game. And the Panthers gave up their a lot of chances. Sergei Bobrovsky in this game really gave them an opportunity the first half.
He held the fort for a while.
He did, and the Panthers were able to kill off those penalties as well. But so many times this year, and again tonight, where the Panthers have a 1-0 lead and unable to really build off of that. Get the second goal. Get the third goal. We saw that. That was a rhythm that they got into last year when they won the President's Trophy, where they were just burying teams and not giving them an opportunity to come back. This year, it's been a struggle. And too many times, the Panthers failed to score in their opportunities and in around the net, whether you call it puck luck, bad puck luck, whatever. But the bottom line is the Panthers have to find a way and get a reset going. Hopefully they can get Barkov and Gudas back in the lineup, get somewhat healthy in order to make a run here, as we call it, the second half. Even though there's over 41 games, it's the second half of the season. The Panthers need to take this time off to really get the focus back, and when they hit the ice after the Christmas break, that they're ready to go to put some points on the board.
Yeah, Randy, the break comes at a pretty good time, doesn't it? Because this Panthers team's had some guys going in and out of the lineup. Obviously, Aaron Ekblad left the game tonight against the Islanders, so there have been some guys banged up. But, that's the story across the league. I think a lot of teams are probably looking at this saying the break's coming at a good time right now with guys leaving the lineup.
Yeah, and it just the disjointedness of the Panthers with the throwing out a different lineup, different lines, different D pairs. How many games this year where the Panthers have either had to dress one short or lose a key player early in the game? Ekblad tonight against the Islanders. Now the Panthers are down to 5 defense, and you're forcing Montour and Forsling to play minutes way above what they should, and then the fatigue factor comes in when you're trying to come back in the third period, and it just doesn't materialize. So if the Panthers can stay away from the injury bug, get a healthy lineup and get some momentum and feel good about themselves and get some consistent goaltending, there's been some too many inconsistencies with their goaltending in the first half. That has to improve as well.
A note from tonight, Giovanni Smith made his debut for the Panthers and threw a big hit on his first shift. And then I mentioned it with Ryan Lomberg, had a chance to talk to him after the first period, but not many better ways to endear yourself to your new teammates than to go drop the gloves with a tough customer like Matt Martin. I'm sure that was a good boost there for a little bit there for the team to see a guy step in and do that.
Yeah, and the Panthers are going to need that. They without Hornquist in the lineup, that takes away a lot of the bite that the Panthers have and that tough mentality and work along the boards. And I think Smith can really bring a valuable aspect for the Panthers, and hopefully he can get himself and get on a line with a couple of consistent line mates, because that will make a difference as well with the chemistry.
Well, Randy, we thank you very much for stopping by. Some immediate reaction after this one. Have a Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you after the break.
Thanks, Doug.
So, Randy Moeller, Panthers analyst on Bally Sports Florida, stopped by immediately after the game last night. Had a chance to get some thoughts from him after that one on the island. So, the Panthers fell last night. So, they go into the Christmas break here. They'll play again coming up on the 29th. That's Thursday against Montreal. Panthers fans, Student Rush back for the season. Come party with your Panthers once again. Enjoy student-exclusive pricing for select games. Go to floridapanthers.com/studentrush for game dates and more information. Some thoughts from Jameson Olive coming up next. We talk first half of the season. We talk last night's game. We talk some topics from around the National Hockey League. Jameson Olive from floridapanthers.com, the Territory Talk podcast. He'll stop by on the other side of the break. We'll chat with him. Doug Plagan's with you. This is the Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Doug Plagans here with you. It's the Panthers Insider Show. Once again, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to everybody tuned in. Panthers back at it on the 29th. That's Thursday at 7 at FLA Live Arena against Montreal. FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. Panthers on the road the next night. That's Friday, and then they will be back home for New Year's Day, 5 p.m. against the New York Rangers. Tuesday, January 3rd, 7 p.m. against the Arizona Coyotes. Get your tickets at FloridaPanthers.com and Ticketmaster.com. Well, after last night's Panthers loss on Long Island to the New York Islanders, had a chance to catch up with Jameson Olive from the Territory Talk podcast from FloridaPanthers.com. Let's dive right into that conversation. All right, well, Jameson, looking at the game last night, we'll touch on this one, but overall we'll look at some bigger topics from the early part of the season. But, Jameson, looking at the game last night against the New York Islanders, the Panthers got the start they were looking for, just didn't get the finish they were looking for. Both teams were without some key players. When you look at that game, what stands out from a night ago? Obviously, like I said, Matthew Tkachuk got things going. Sergei Bobrovsky made some saves, held the fort for a while. But ultimately, it was the Islanders who outlasted the Panthers in that one.
I think Paul Maurice said it best after the game, and that was just the Panthers really just had no legs in that game for whatever reason. Obviously, they're dealing with a lot of injuries. A lot of guys have a lot of miles on the tires right now with, you know, how much they've been playing this season, filling in those holes up and down the lineup, you know, heading into this break that is so important for this team as they look to kind of reset, recharge. But I mean, both eye test and the numbers just didn't look good for the Panthers for the first time in a long time, honestly, because win or lose this season, the Panthers have typically been able to play their game. There's been a lot of games where they look dominant, they've been dominant, and they've lost. And I think you and I've talked about this before. I mean, the Panthers have deserved to win quite a few games they've lost and haven't really lost too many games they deserve to win. So for the Cats there, I mean, you look at, you know, the underlying numbers, and the Islanders were just dominant. You know, they doubled them up in, you know, shot attempts, scoring chances, all the important numbers, high danger shot attempts. And if you just watch the game from start to finish, it kind of felt like the Panthers never really had the puck. And the Panthers are at their best, like most teams are when they do have the puck. So for the Cats, I think, you know, one of the shining lights was Sergei Bobrovsky. He was really strong again. And, you know, most of the guys after the game, you know, Matthew Tkachuk was talking about it. They feel like one of the worst parts about that loss is they let Bob down, because Bob once again gave him a really good shot to win that game. So for the Cats, definitely, you know, a game they're going to want to forget. They're going to want to move on from. And hopefully, you know, that's the game we look back at after this break, is saying, you know, that was kind of the bottom. Then they, you know, went into the break, came out, and, you know, really righted the ship.
And a couple of things going off what you said there. I think it's worth talking about Sergei Bobrovsky, because let's not forget it. It was a few weeks back when Paul Maurice had a big media availability in Winnipeg. Obviously, there were a lot of folks there that wanted to talk to him, and they asked him about the goaltending. And at that point in time, we're talking a few weeks back, he said that Sergei Bobrovsky was working through a few things at that point. And, you know, they were in a stretch where Spencer Knight had gotten the bulk of the starts. Well, then when the Panthers returned from that Western Canada trip, Spencer Knight came down with that non-COVID illness, sidelined him for a bit. During that time, it was Sergei Bobrovsky's goal crease, and whatever he was working through, it appeared that he had worked through it, because recently, even though he hasn't maybe gotten the win-loss results that he'd like individually, as you said right there, he's given the Panthers a chance to win every night. And after the morning skate on the island, Paul Maurice said when he came out of the tunnel in Winnipeg, it was almost as if Sergei Bobrovsky was, you know, bringing a chip on his shoulder, an anger to the goal crease. What can you say about what Sergei Bobrovsky has been able to do here in this last stretch of games where he's gotten the lion's share of the action?
Yeah, when Paul said that, I kind of had to double take a little bit, because, I mean, you and I can both attest, I'm sure he gets angry on the ice, but off the ice, Sergei Bobrovsky is the most even-keeled man we've ever met. So just imagine him angry is kind of a funny thing to think about. But yeah, I think the way you look at it and the way he came out there, I think you can say, you know, he came out angry and he just kind of took the bull by the horns. And, you know, heading into that game on Long Island, he'd started 7 of the last 8. He had a .920 save percentage in that span. Like you said, deserved better results in a lot of those games. So for the Panthers, I think you look at that, and obviously Knighter already went on a run. Spencer Knight went on a run earlier in the year. He played really strong. Now Bob's having his run. So the team can once again look at both guys and say, you know, we're really confident in both these guys, no matter who we're rolling out. But right now, just given, you know, the fact that they do want these guys to get into rhythms, they do want to ride hot hands, even though, like you said, the wins and losses haven't been what they should be, Bob's had a hot hand. Bob's put this team in a position to win every single time he's been out there during this stretch. And that's exactly what you're going to need in the second half. You're going to need both goaltenders, but you're definitely going to need at least one guy to really kind of, you know, carry the heavy workload and be the guy that really does get in that rhythm where they can put the team in a position to win every single night.
Team debut for Jovani Smith on the island. And again, talking to Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com, the Territory Talk podcast here, kind enough to stop by the Panthers Insider show, reacting to the game on the island. Also just talking about some topics of the last few weeks, but the Panthers organizationally get Jovani Smith in the trade from Detroit. He plays one game in Charlotte, gets the call up to the Panthers for the game against the Islanders. And his first shift threw a big hit. And then later on in the game, fought Matt Martin, not too much later on in the game, but fought Matt Martin, who's been one of the toughest customers in the league for a long time. He brings a dimension to this team that maybe they haven't had. They have some sandpaper type guys, but Jovani Smith is a big, tough customer. Paul Maurice described him as a forechecker, but he's not afraid to mix it up if he has to. He's just a big, strong guy who can, you know, stand up for his teammates. He can try to reverse the flow in a hockey game, whatever he needs to do. But what'd you like about him getting in there and just him being acquired by the Panthers organization? Like I said, just brings another dimension and a unique skill set to this team.
Yeah, you can never have too many guys like Jovani Smith. And I like what he did in his debut. Like you said, asserting himself right away with a big hit and then a fight, you know, immediately becomes a guy that's getting a lot of love in that locker room for the Panthers. So for him, you know, let's not forget, this is only his second team he's ever played for. You know, he was drafted by the Red Wings, developed there, played 85 games over there over parts of four seasons. And now he's getting a fresh start, change of scenery here with the Cats. And I think what stood out to me the most, other than just that start, was just the physicality throughout the game. You know, he had four hits against the Islanders. That was the most on the Panthers. And although it didn't, you know, flip the switch like maybe they were hoping, he definitely gave the Panthers several shots in the arm throughout the game with his play. So it's another guy for the Panthers. They have a lot of depth with guys like Jovani Smith. There's a lot of battles for guys, you know, for that ice time, for those spots, especially as this team is going to get healthier heading into the second half. But, you know, first impressions of Jovani Smith, you have to like what you see.
And in mentioning Jovani Smith, talk about some of the other guys who've come up from Charlotte here lately. And yeah, the Panthers have lost some key players lately. They've got some guys working their way back. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But how impressed have you been with guys like Zach Dalpe, Grigory Denisenko? I know he's not up currently, but Alexi Heponiemi's been up a couple of different times to fill some holes when needed. The Panthers have had some guys come up and do a pretty admirable job stepping in. It's impossible to replace guys like Alexander Barkov, like Radko Gudas, but there have been some guys who've come in and done a pretty admirable job of it.
Yeah, and Matt Kirsten as well. You can throw him in there. Really help with the Panthers' blue line when Radko Gudas has been out here during the stretch. But, you know, all those guys have been really impressive. And, of course, some of those guys, more veteran guys, like the Chris Tierneys and Zach Delpes of the world. Some of the guys, you know, those younger guys, the Heponiemis, the Denisenkos of the world. And, you know, older, young, experienced, you know, not experienced. All those guys have been bringing really good efforts each and every night in these games. And Dalpe's one guy in particular. I know we've talked about him a bunch, but just to see what he's been able to do. This is an extended call-up for him. You know, he's used to, in recent seasons, popping up for a game or two. But with the injuries with the Panthers have had, he's had a real good chance here to actually settle in with the Panthers and just, you know, great energy, great locker room guy. And you see it out there each and every shift, he's given it his all. So just a guy that, you know, at 33 years old really sets the bar high for everyone else, even as a call-up. I really do think, you know, sometimes call-ups come up, they're a little quiet, they're just like, all right, I'm here to, you know, chip in, help, stick around as long as I can. But you look at what he's done, and he says the same. You know, he always says, you know, he's just going up there to bring some energy, but he brings more than that. And you really do see the guys responding to him and his play. And for Denisenko, you know, it's a former first-round pick right there for the Panthers. This is probably, you know, the first time we've seen him up here have a real extended look like he's had now in quite a while. He was hurt last year. So I like what I've seen from him. You know, all these guys coming up, they're building some tape, they're building some confidence. And they're all fighting for that future call-up when the Panthers do get healthy but do need guys down the line.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. A lot of folks get fixated on the opening night roster and things like that. But you need to run much deeper than 23 over the course of a full season in order to have success. Jameson, coming up here on the Christmas break, of course, the Panthers will be back in action on the 29th against Montreal and then the next night on the road against Carolina. So they're going to be diving right back into the schedule. But do you view the Christmas break as kind of the the end of the first half, beginning of the second half? Do you look at that as the All-Star break? Do you look at it just from a straight mathematical perspective when you have 41 in the books? That's the first half. Then you start the next 41. Or just because of how compact, how tightly crowded this Eastern Conference is with quality opponents, do you think that push for the playoffs kind of starts now?
It kind of does, and I always view this break as kind of the assessment break. This is the time where all the teams can get together, they can look at themselves and say, what do we need to do? What's going right? What's going wrong? Because there's still time. That's the most important thing about the Christmas break. There's still time. There's almost 50 games left for most of these teams. They can look around and say, oh, this isn't working. That's working. You know, we like this, but we need to change this. So I think it is maybe the most important break, just because I think it sets you up for the rest of the season. I mean, you talk about the All-Star break, but by the time you get to All-Star, there's only a couple weeks left until the trade deadline. By then, most teams know what they're going to do, where they stand. So this is kind of the last break to make a difference. And I think it's a really important break for the Panthers. And, you know, Matthew Tkachuk talked about it after the loss to the Islanders, as he still has a lot of belief in the guys in the room, in this team, still thinks these guys can be a playoff team, but they do have to flip that switch and go on a run here at some point, which they are capable of doing. I mean, they have, when healthy, they have Barkov, they have Tkachuk, they have Verhaeghe, they have all these guys that are really good guys. They have a really talented roster. They just got to find a way to do it. And they can. You look around the league, there's so many teams that, I'm not saying they need to go on a Devils 13-game winning streak, but there's teams that win, you know, 7-9, 6-8. And that's all the Panthers need. They just need a good, solid, you know, 8-10 game stretch to suddenly be right back there in the thick of it, right, you know, potentially even in a playoff spot after a run like that. So for the Cats, I think they're going to do a lot of, you know, internal looking here, see what they got, see what they need to change. And, you know, then they're going to try. They're just going to see if they can flip that switch and see what happens here heading out of holiday break.
Two more before we let you get going. As far as the injuries are concerned, we know Aaron Ekblad left the game on the island. I know it's probably going to be a wait and see there, but it sounded like everybody was getting pretty optimistic as far as Barkov working his way back, Gudas working his way back, things like that. Have you heard anything new there? Is that going to be kind of a wait until after the break as far as who's on their way back? It sounds like the Panthers could use this break certainly positively in terms of being able to get some guys the rest they need.
Yeah, Radko Gudas in particular, who I think has been, you know, a really big loss for the Panthers, just for all the stuff he brings to the ice, not only just, you know, in terms of his play, but in terms of his leadership. It's been a tough loss for the Cats here recently. He's actually been a full participant in practices and morning skates for a while now. He was a game time decision for a bit. And then I think the team just kind of said, you know, at this point, let's just wait for the holiday break. At least that's what it felt like. But he looks like definitely he should be ready to go come out of the holiday break. And Paul Maurice has said as much. And then they also said Barkov was tracking for a similar return. And we've seen Barkov skating before practices and before morning skates here recently. Hasn't been with the main group, but obviously, you know, when you're Alexander Barkov, that's a guy that always fights to get back pretty quickly. So that's definitely maybe the top thing we'll be monitoring coming out of the holiday break. You know, he is the Panthers captain. He is their superstar. But the fact that he's been skating, the fact that he's been out there already on the ice is definitely a good sign. And then you look at a guy like Anthony Duclair. The Panthers have been waiting for him for a long time, had a surgery in the off season, but he's been in a yellow no contact jersey. He's been skating before morning skates and practices, sometimes lingering around a little bit to hang out with the guys here and there. But I think it was a couple weeks ago, at this point, maybe almost even 2 weeks ago, that Paul Maurice said, you know, he started skating again, and in about 2 weeks, it's going to become hard skating. So I think he's starting to enter that hard skating period now where he's really going to start to push himself a bit more. Because let's not forget, I mean, being off the ice for as long as these guys are, it takes a lot of time to get back into game shape, to get the legs where they need to be. But the fact that he already is where he's at, you know, maybe he's ready to come back mid-January, end of January, regardless. But like I've said before, you know, that's going to be a huge boost for the Panthers. And they just need to, you know, leave the door open for him to come back and make a difference in important games. So honestly, you know, it's been a really tough start to the season with injuries. But you look at where the guys are at right now, depending on what's happening with Aaron Ekblad. And of course, we won't find anything about that till we get back from the break. But in terms of Gudas, in terms of Barkov, it seems like guys are finally starting to come back here at the right time for the Cats.
One last one here for you, Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com. We are a hockey show here, and hey, last night the Washington Capitals played the Winnipeg Jets. Alex Ovechkin got his 802nd goal, moving into second all-time. I guess we could just start with Jameson. I'm not sure in my lifetime I thought anybody else other than Wayne Gretzky would pass Gordie Howe. Well, it happened last night. Are you surprised to see another name up there above Gordie Howe now as Alex Ovechkin passed him?
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's such an impressive feat. We've talked about it before. Obviously, in hockey, there's a lot of story records, and Wayne Gretzky holds a lot of them. But just to even get near a guy like Gordy's huge, just for all he's meant to the game and just what a legend he is. And for Ovechkin, you know, I'm definitely one of those guys. I think most people around the league are now pretty confident that he's going to catch and pass Wayne Gretzky, just given the fact that he seems so committed to it. The fact that he's not slowing down at all really much. I mean, obviously, he's no longer prime Ovechkin, but he's still doing so many of the things that he's done so well for so many years in this league. And I think when you think about guys breaking records like that, you kind of think of guys at the end of their careers. You know, guys that are just hanging on and just getting a couple more goals there at the end.
So, taking a victory lap. That's not what's happening here.
A few more counting stats just to go out there and get the photos and, you know, wave to the fans. But, I mean, Ovechkin right now, 41 points, 22 goals in 36 games. He's still, you know, the number one weapon for the Washington Capitals. And that's another reason why he's going to hang on and he's going to pass Wayne. And, you know, you and I've talked about it before. I don't feel like it's getting maybe the worldwide national buzz that it should be getting, that he's on this run. And that hopefully that changes. And I think that obviously should change when he does get to the point where he's chasing down Wayne, because forever and ever, I mean, and most of his records are still going to be untouched for forever and ever. But for anyone to break any one of Wayne Gretzky's records, that's just unfathomable. So for Alex Ovechkin to now, you know, have number 99 in the crosshairs and chasing him down from here on out, that's definitely going to be a journey that I hope is really highlighted and people really tune into as it unfolds over the next few seasons here.
Yeah, that's the big thing. I hope people give it the attention it deserves, because like I said, you and I aren't that old by any means, but I'm not sure either of us thought that, you know, going back years, if you asked me 20 years ago, do I think somebody would potentially pass Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal scoring record? I don't think I would have said it would ever happen. And I'm with you now. I think it is going to happen. It's a matter of when, not if. Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, kind enough to stop by the Panthers Insider Show. Jameson, enjoy the Christmas break. Merry Christmas to you. We thank you very much for stopping by, and we'll talk to you when we get back to action here in a few days.
Same to you, Doug. Thanks.
Thank you. That is Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com, the Territory Talk podcast. And Cats fans, stay on top of all things Panthers. Check out the latest episode of the Territory Talk podcast with me and Jameson Olive for exclusive team interviews and more. See the newest episodes at FloridaPanthers.com/Territory Talk or wherever you find your podcast, Territory Talk, presented by Baptist Health. When we come back, we will revisit a conversation I had with Panthers forward Zach Dalpe. That's coming up on the other side of the break. Panthers Insider Show, folks, right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Let's get back to the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back, Panthers Insider Show. We'll get to a chat that I had with Zach Dalpe of the Panthers just recently on an episode of the Territory Talk podcast. Doug Plagan's here with the Panthers fans. Come to the dark side. Catch chats at their annual Star Wars night with the take on Nashville March 2nd at 7. Purchase your ticket package today. Includes a limited edition Star Wars night t-shirt plus a meet and greet with Star Wars characters. Go to FloridaPanthers.com for more information. Well, had a chance to catch up with Zach Dalpe for the Territory Talk podcast recently. Let's revisit that conversation right here.
All right, well, Zach, first, just talk about coming here to the Panthers, what the group's been like, and what it's meant to get back into the Panthers group and into the NHL here.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it a million times. I feel like it's pretty repetitive, but to be, you know, 33 and, like, a guy that still is looked upon as a call-up, I think that, you know, I'm very fortunate. Obviously, hard work has got me to this point, and I just love doing it. I love being at the rink. I really don't know when I want to stop playing, because I get the taste like this and someone's gonna have to take my skates away from me for sure. So the group's been great, to answer your question. I mean as an older guy, it's like you kind of know the lay of the land, so you keep quiet until somebody wants to chat, and then you open up. So it's been great.
And just going off that, a couple things. First, that leadership role that you've had in the American Hockey League, what does it mean to you to almost be an extension of the coaching staff in a sense, and to be such a resource for so many of the young guys who are just you know, getting their taste of pro hockey? And you come here, and like you said, you know your way around, so you're kind of a calming presence here as well. What's it mean to have that role within the organization?
I love it. I mean, I like to help people in general, and the fact that I get to do it, like, in the hockey room or in the dressing room and around the rink has been a cool reward for me. I mean, my mom's not around anymore. I feel like I have to carry on how she was as a people person. She owned a little store in a small town and helped a lot of people out, and I feel like I could live on in that regard. So it's been great. You're a buffer, but like you said, you're a buffer between the coach and the players, but you still have to be a hockey player too. So it's a lot of a juggling act, but something that I've really enjoyed.
And in mentioning being extension of the coaching staff, in a sense, you're pretty familiar with the head coach here. Paul Maurice was in Carolina when you first broke in. What's it like coming here and, you know, seeing him here as the head coach? And as a result, does that kind of help you know the expectations as soon as you walk in the door with a coach that you're familiar with?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I was at a different point in my life. I was like a 20-year-old rookie that, you know, pretty green at the time. And Mo was a lot more intimidating. Not that he's an intimidating guy, but to me, he was. And then you kind of grow up and get around the league, and then you come back, and like you're in a different spot in your life. He might be in a different spot in his life, and it just seems like it works. You know, he lets me play, obviously gives me constructive criticism when needed, but he's just been letting me play and you know, trusting my skating and everything that I bring. So it's been fun.
And he's mentioned too just how your game's evolved over time. And I think any good hockey player, regardless of what position you're playing, where you are in your career, I think you kind of always have to be evolving your game because the sport is right. Is kind of always evolving. If you had to look at your game, how are you able to take different bits and pieces from each stop you've made along the way and just add them to the mix?
Yeah, I mean, I think that old saying, like, adapt or die, it's, you know, to have a long career, you do have to adapt. And 13 years in now, I've picked up, you know, maybe a bigger body than I was when I started, which, you know, to my strengths down low and skating and speed and things like that. Like I said, I was like a skinny rookie that got pushed around a lot. So along the way, I've kind of more so learned the defensive side of the puck, and that's what's kind of kept me coming back into the league. So to be trust upon from the coach. But obviously I'm still learning too, and that's like the best part about hockey is like the game can kind of change just like that. And into the summer, you got to adapt even more, work on skating, work on a different style of stick handling or something, and it's just been fun.
And the Panthers recently have obviously had a need for a number of guys to come in from Charlotte and provide a boost and fill some spots where some guys have been out of the lineup for different reasons. And everybody's come in here and made a pretty seamless transition, made impacts in different ways. What is it about the system that Jordy's got going down there in Charlotte that makes it easy for guys to come in here and just blend in?
Yeah, I mean, not to take credit away from the players, but I owe a lot to our success to Jordy and obviously the coaching staff and everybody down there. But Jordy's he's a pro. Like, he's a coach that has us practicing hard every day, has us doing good habits, has us playing on the right side of the puck. And I think coming up, you're just more comfortable because, you know, the bright lights of the NHL could kind of get to you, but the fact that we've practiced so hard down there and we play such a hard game, it just translates into the speed of the NHL. And I owe a lot to Jordy personally, and I think it says a lot to his extension of the staff. We've all come up and had some success.
And I understand your kids were at the game a couple of days back. What was that like to have them here, and how do they take in the experience?
Yeah, they definitely, it's funny because it might just seem like a meaningless game to a lot of people, but that was the first time all three of them have watched me play in the NHL. You know, over the years with COVID and stuff, it just hasn't worked. I've had two COVID babies, so... it was special. I said to my wife, like, that's going to be a night that I won't ever forget, even though it was just like a random Tuesday night or whatever the case was against Detroit. But yeah, to have them here and you know, I was holding back tears. And it's funny now, they spent a lot of money at the team store, took advantage of the discount. And now they both got their, two of them have their Florida Panthers backpacks, and they're showing off to their friends at school and stuff. So it's such a cool payoff for me.
And so, and even that much more special, you said, they're old enough to know what's going on and what's at stake and what the whole thing means. That's got to really add to it as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. They're diehard Checkers fans, and then now I'm up here, and now they're like diehard Panther fans. And you know, a couple guys were nice enough, like Chucky, Ecky, Montour, to sign some sticks for them. And to me, like, that that goes such a long way, and it says a lot about the group we have here. And, you know, those are memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their lives. You know, they tried to get in the dressing room the one game, but it was a loss, so I had to tell them no, and they were all mad. But I like stuff like that. It's funny because it shows that they care and they want to be around more, so it was fun.
And just to turning back the clock, I like to, since we're here on Territory Talk on our podcast, and we like to peel back the onion a little bit and tell people a little bit about your journeys, where you came from. Just looking back, I'm looking at your hockey DB page. You played in Penticton. That was in the BC Junior League, going way back. And a lot of people may not realize that the Penticton V's and the BC Junior League have a ridiculous history of winning. Yeah, I mean, they're just a lot of success and a lot of accomplished alumni. You had a brother who went through the program after you did there. But how'd you wind up going all the way across Canada to play for them?
Yeah, I was playing Junior B in Stratford, Ontario, which is another very rich history of winning in Ontario. I think a lot of people, if anyone from Canada listens to your podcast from Ontario, they'd understand a lot of NHLers have came through there. And I got a full ride to Ohio State, but they weren't comfortable me just playing Junior B the year before school. So they floated the idea of flying out to Penticton. Now, I'd never been away from home. A 5-hour flight scared me, but once you kind of touch down in the Okanagan, you're like, oh my God, I don't want to leave. So Fred Harbison, who's still the coach and general manager there and president, it was his first year there. We won the whole league. I think it did like so much for my career as far as like being away from home and growing up. And I still talk to my billets regularly. And, you know, the fact that I got to go there and win and be on such a rich history team before Ohio State was something cool for sure.
And I got to ask you, too, off the ice, there are some videos if folks are interested. You playing guitar. You're pretty good, got to say. When did you pick that up? Is that something you started doing as a kid, or is it a hobby you just kind of got into later? You and the guitar, when did it all happen?
I mean, I grew up in like a very like music-oriented household, meaning there was always a radio on. Dad threw Tragically Hip on all the time, Counting Crows, you know. So it was like I got into that music early, and then, you know, the guitar my mom played, and she was a very good singer, so I obviously wanted to do what she did. So I've been playing like live for like 10 years. I've done a bunch of weddings and bars and stuff and team events, so it's been something that I've really enjoyed. I got to play in Nashville at Tootsie's, which is cool. I'll cross that off my bucket list. So it's definitely like a good, well, with kids now, you don't really get to play as much. But when you get out of the rink, you just go home and it can be pretty monotonous, right? Like it can be pretty boring. And you pick up the guitar and strum along. It's been fun. And it's something that, you know, once I'm done playing, I'm going to get into it more, get into the live gigs. And I think it'll be cool.
You heard it. So you heard it right there. Down the road sometime, you'll be able to book Zach Delpy for your event. He's quite a musician. Good conversation, too. Great to revisit that one here, folks, on the Panthers Insider Show. And that's from the Territory Talk podcast. If you've never listened to the Territory Talk podcast, floridapanthers.com/territorytalk. You can find all the old episodes there. But that just about takes us up to the end of the program here this week. Panthers paused for the Christmas break. Back at it Thursday at 7 against Montreal at home, floridapanthers.com, ticketmaster.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. Big thanks to Zach for the time. Thanks to Jameson Olive, Randy Moeller for stopping by the show as well. We'll be back at it coming up on Thursday at 7 when the Panthers welcome in the Montreal Canadiens. Again, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody tuned in out there. And we wish the best to you and yours over the next few days here, of course. And as I said, we'll be back at it Thursday at 7 o'clock, Panthers and the Canadiens at FLA Live Arena. But until then, folks, we thank you very much for being on board here on another edition on a Saturday morning of the Panthers Insider Show. Folks, Doug Plagans here with you. Thanks again for being with us today. This has been the Panthers Insider Show right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, Every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake, to find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Lamonte Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.